After School Special Podcast. After School Special Podcast. After School Special Podcast. After School Special Podcast.
Thank you. Welcome, everyone, to After School Special Podcast. I am on the door, the steps of death. I have COVID for the second time. I was trying to be safe about it, but my girlfriend, she got it, and I blame her and solely her for my COVID-19. Today, we're talking theme parks. You got to have that energy because it's happiness. Happiness with elephant ears, churros, rides, little kids shitting their pants and throwing up. Side of the Tilt-A-Whirl and possibly fucking I don't know. I'm like, I right now I have a cold sweat going on just trying to
That sounds like a normal day for you.
After I eat bacon.
Ooh, bacon.
Let's look at some of the other things they have going on. The scam artist games, the rocking ship that goes back and forth. I don't think I've not been to one amusement park that has not had that ship that goes back and forth, the pirate ship. So you have that. You got bumper cars and the Wurlitzer, like we were talking about earlier with the carousel. So you have all that fun stuff going on.
Most of it's put together with Elmer's glue and thumbtacks,
yeah,
and rubber bands.
That's back when Americans were putting together stuff with grits and spit.
Yeah, exactly.
They were really, yeah. That's back when the amusement park was a staple of Americana.
Yep.
For a lot of people. So you know, hey, let's take the kids out. I can think of one movie that really internalized that for me, and that was The Sandlot. And that's when those boys went down there to the amusement park for the 4th of July or the county fair or whatever it was, and that's when they started chewing tobacco and they all threw up on the roller coaster.
What is it?
Big Chief. The best.
Gee, Smalls. I suppose you don't even know who the babe is either. It's Plug. What? Chewing tobacco?
Tobacco, man.
What do you do with it? You're killing me, Smalls.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So
I was going to say, back then, if you got hit or something, you could get tetanus off of any one of those rides, and the guy would just be like, you lost your arm? You know, just put some dirt on it and some spit. You can't sue us, though. You know?
Yeah, carnies. These were, like, legit carnies, like your dudes with the wife beater on and the bowler hat with the suspenders, and he's operating the machine.
Most of them have some type of brain damage. Not all of them, but most of them have some type of brain damage.
Something going on. Yeah. I've never been to a freak show, but you had some that had like freak shows, and then you had some that had, you know.
When did the freak show go away? I guess is my question, because I never went to one. I don't know if you had, but I think those ended before the 80s almost. Everyone was kind of like, you can't show a bearded lady and, you know, smaller people and whatnot.
I don't know. That's a good question. But I know the freak show is popular because out here in California, there's one. Yeah.
In California, the most liberal and woke state.
Yeah. Well, outside of a couple others. But yeah. I know they did a documentary on a freak show family on A&E some time ago. So I think it was out here in California that, you know, so you had your fire eaters and you had your people who were born with their different abilities and things like that. Or you,
I like
your
it,
tattoo
that you,
artists.
I love that you call it abilities, John. It's like they're X-Men.
What I do, man. I try to be inclusive, man. I try to be inclusive.
Good, man.
But yeah. I remember one movie that stood out to me, which is tied to amusement parks, is Todd Powers Freaks, I think it was called.
Oh, yeah.
Was it Todd?
I believe so.
Tyrone Powers Freaks or something like that, which was a movie about a group of freaks who take revenge on a acrobatist and the strongman for taking advantage of one of their own.
Richard, it's Peyton. We'll make her one of us. A loving cup, a loving cup.
We accept her one of us. We accept her one of us.
Gooba gobble, gooba gobble.
We accept her, we accept her.
Gooba gobble, gooba gobble.
One of us, one of us.
Gooba gobble.
One of us, one of us.
Gobble, gobble, one of
gobble,
us.
Gobble, gobble, one of us.
Yes. And ironically, The Simpsons did a cover of that for Halloween. But it all took place in an amusement park. Some of the scariest shit has happened in amusement parks. Something Wicked This Way Comes is a book that took a place there. It was another one that took place at an amusement park. So,
did you guys ever... do what other kids used to do, dream about staying over at an amusement park like overnight. I used to feel that way about malls too, like how scary that shit would be.
Overnight at a mall?
Yeah, like somehow you broke away from your family. Like, let's just picture it like a Home Alone type of event where somehow you broke away from your family after a whole long day of being on roller coasters, eating elephant ears or whatever you get when you were a kid. And just somehow you were able to not only stay at these amusement parks at night, but actually, like, I don't know, power the generator to get the fucking rides going. And you were like the only one fucking there. Was I the only one that dreamed that?
No, I kind of, but mine was more of a nightmare. I end up getting like molested by the fucking janitor. Yeah, it was a weird
Aaron. I'm
glad that COVID hasn't kept you away from that thought. Oh well.
Yeah. No, I seriously. So I don't know. Even when I was little, I was just like, I was prime real estate to be molested. Luckily, I never was. But
prime real estate. That's a hell of a term to be putting in there.
You were jailbait. Yeah. Aaron?
Yeah.
I can't go as far as to say that, but I will say that I have always wanted to get lost in Toy Store, which was last week's episode. I've always wanted that.
Or a mall.
Yeah. Or a mall. Yeah. Mall of America, where it's the largest mall where you can explore. And I've always... I don't know if you guys did it, but when my mom took me to the mall, I would hide in the carousel where the clothes would hang.
No.
The clothes would hang in the dresses. I would hide
Yeah.
So I would hide there.
Why did we do
until
that?
She was ready to go. I don't know. It was just fun. It was like espionage. You would hide there and women would be going through trying to get their stuff. And you're sitting there hiding and... Tell your mom is really frustrated and you come out because she doesn't like you hiding, obviously, because it's the mall and somebody could snatch you up.
Hey, John,
no Aaron's point.
Did you ever when people look, did you ever like when people were looking for clothes, like a certain thing, would you like hand them something really creepy, like a outstretched arm? Did you ever do that? I've done that before. That was fun.
I never did that. Pulled a Seinfeld. Where you're in when you've accidentally been associated, like, well, they thought he was a pharmacist, but that's what I mean. Like, somebody thinks you're something else. Yeah, I never done that.
But I was gonna say, do you guys know the first? Well, what's considered the first amusement park ever?
Ooh, I'm gonna go with Coney. Is it Coney Island?
Is it the World's Fair?
Well, I meant in the world. Coney Island is actually not, it's one of the oldest in America, but it's actually another one that's older than that in America. Well, which they consider an amusement park, but after I heard the details of it, it didn't really sound like one. But the oldest one is from, I'm going to fuck this name up. It's called Kampenborg, Denmark. That's where the amusement park was. It opened in 1583. Near freshwater springs as a pleasure garden, hubba hubba, with live entertainment, fireworks, dancing, games, and some early rides.
Go ride a roller coaster and get a hand job while you're waiting.
Under your pleasure garden.
That's quite the terminology of pleasure garden.
Well, yeah, I was gonna say back then it's like go ride the roller coaster and look at women's ankles.
Yeah.
I think Coney Island is the second oldest, I believe. It says the first oldest is Lake Compounds in Bristol, Connecticut. Mm. They say that's the oldest. But it says Six Flags is number two in Agawam, Massachusetts. Oh, my God.
This Massachusetts? Is
just... Hold on.
Yeah.
You hear that?
Take it. You can't yeah. take it.
Yes, yes. It's just that kind of day. What are you doing?
You can fix it in post.
That's my whole life. So, fix it in post. But yes, yeah. Denmark, that is definitely the credited number one.
Hey, babies, you liking the show? Well, thanks. Leave a 5-star rating and a comment, please. Do you want to see the guys' faces? Well, they got YouTube videos. It comes out every Wednesday before the episode comes out on Friday. You can watch this podcast on any major platform you listen to. Rate 5 stars and comment. Thanks, babies.
Amusement parks back then, too, is like everyone says, or if they go to these places, they're like, oh, well, yeah, it's kind of lame. All they had was a merry-go-round. I'm like, well, merry-go-round was like a fucking, I don't know, Millennium Force type roller coaster back then. People was like, oh my gosh, I have the vapors. I'm so excited that I get to go 20 feet up in the air and see everyone.
And it was a twist from people. What is people's fascination with spinning? Because there was a game that kids would play with ribbons and spinning it around, type of pole or something like that.
Do you want me to give you the answer here, John?
It was like in Safety Dance, the music video.
I can tell you why. This is going to be a COVID rant real quick. I'm just going to go with it. Basically, what it represents is time in general. Time is a flat circle. Time has no beginning or end. So circles or circular kind of reinstates Earth, reinstates the universe, reinstate time as non-existent, that we are just a floating blob. We are a part of all these things that are in the world. That if I touch something, my molecules are within this window, within this computer. Time is a flat circle, and that's why we're obsessed with it. Or maybe it's just because, you know, it spins real fast.
That might be it. It spins real fast. But you're good. Your first answer was good, too. Yeah.
How much medicine are you on, buddy?
I'm not on that much. I just have a really, I have a fever and I'm like sweating. It's like cold sweats and then I get really hot and then I get really cold and then it feels like my skin is crawling. I'm not having any issues breathing, which is good. But I think I got that
Omarion,
B2K or whatever.
The B2K. Oh, yeah.
That's what I think I got. I got that Omarion last time.
Yeah.
Omarion.
Is that this... conversation is so fun. We're talking amusement parks. COVID.
Hey, I'm having fun. Shit.
COVID-19 yeah. amusement park. Come and ride. Wow, we got Omarion. We got Alpha. We got the whatever the other fucking one is. Delta?
Well, you know, it's funny you bring that up with the germs and everything, but I remember in Michigan a long time ago, they did the Fallen Giant. Did you guys see that? It was an amusement park. It was like an attraction to teach kids about the body. It was like a giant, and it was a huge giant, and the skull was cracked, and kids could go inside of it and learn about human body and how
what
it operated.
The fuck?
That was in Michigan a long time ago.
Sounds like a bad dream.
Yeah. There's a cracked head, and that's where you enter, and then you come out of the butthole.
Well,
hey, do you want me to get into Boblo real quick? Talk about that and then jump in, because this was Boblo Island.
Giuseppe, what is that place?
That's the famous Boblo Island, Mario. Look, these are the new Fourth of Fun. That's just for the little ones.
Let me look.
Holy moly, the new Falling Star ride.
Come on, give it to me.
And look, all brand spanky new. Here, Mario. Mario?
Come to Boblo and share the fun.
Mario, wait for me.
Boblo tickets available at all AAA offices in Michigan.
it was successful at one point. Everyone, you know, only remembers the last few years in the 90s, but this bad boy started in 1898 and kept going until 1993. All the amusement park rides were sold in 1994, and it was located, technically the island's name is Boy, or, well, I'm not French, so, but it's Boy Blank Island, and it's Ontario, located on the Detroit River. And they had, you know, different rides and different, you know, it for all first started with, like, it was just a place for people to go to the beach and all this stuff. And then they started getting rides, bumper boats, bumper cars. And Henry Ford financed the dance hall that they had there, which there's like a picture. If you go on the, or if you just type in Boblo Island, that's like one of the bigger ones. And this thing was fucking huge. It was absolutely gorgeous. I think it was 1990, dwindling attendance kind of started. I think it was 1989. It was 400,000 people had gone there. Then it went to 300,000. And then I think 1993, it ended up being like 200,000. They just shut down after that point. But do you guys remember anything about it? There was, so their mascots, well, their mascots was the Simpsons in the 90s. They did like a 20th Century Fox little deal. So you'd see Homer and Bart and all of them walking around.
I got a little stuff for Boblo too, just to fill in. It was an 18-mile ride that was carried out on a famous ship. I can't think of the ship's name right
now. The ship was called
St. Clair.
St. Clair and
the Columbia. The Columbia.
Steamers. They were both called Steamer St. Clair and Steamer Columbia. That's what the two boats were called. They had the capacity for 2,500 people. So.
And they'd get fucking hammered on the way there. And then they would get hammered on the way back because there was a beer hall in every single one of those ships. Because everyone was like, well, why is it that they're always saying that the best part of Boblo was going on those ferries? Because your parents would get fucking shit hammered before they got into the park. And then eventually it's like, they're like, well, we really can't lose them or anything because it's an island. It's like Alcatraz for kids. And, you know, they'd walk around and you'd see the Simpsons and whatnot. For some reason, I kept thinking Garfield was there too, but that might have been something else.
Little background, Boblo, in 1898, the Detroit, Windsor, and Belle Isle Ferry Company opened up a recreation park on the Detroit River about 18 miles southwest of Windsor. The company was busy during the week moving people and goods up and down river. They created a destination to keep themselves busy on the weekend. The 18-mile boat ride was carried out by the famous ships, the Columbia, built in 1902, and the St. Clair, built in 1910. Boblo was originally named Bois Blanc by the French, but residents couldn't pronounce the name. The non-French resident called it Boblo, and the name was officially accepted in 1949. So that's as far as the name goes, but the amusement park rides were moving by 1910, installed by 1920, and was a huge hit, essentially paying for itself. Now, how often did you go to Boblo Island?
You want to know something funny? I went only that I can recall once, and that was about 1990 or 91, because I still have the picture, which I'll probably post later, of me at Boblo Island riding on the bumper cars, and I had a Detroit Pistons championship shirt, a tight ass shirt. I was about six or seven, so it was about 90-91. Little did I knew at the time that, you know, it was going to be closed in 2 years. But I remember I went once. It was magical because, like Aaron was saying earlier, you know, you go on the boat, adults are getting wasted. I was on the boat and just looking at the water. All I can remember was looking at the water. And I think we stayed all night because when we came back, it was dark. And I was just looking at the water at nighttime. But I remember having a blast. I remember the Space Needle they had there. They had a bunch of rides, the carousel. They had something called, they had a screamer ride. It's a double corkscrew. They had a nightmare. Yes. A nightmare ride, and that was an indoor all dark ride, and Sky Streak, a steel out back out design or something like that. But and they had a zoo. I don't remember the zoo as much.
I don't remember the zoo. And to be honest, I only went once. And the ride that I remember was a Whirligig. It was a ride in the shape of an octopus that had coaster carts that it was holding. And it would spin you on a tilt or tilt-a-whirl. That's kind of what it was.
Did you ever do the Scooter Boot? Or not the Jesus Christ.
The Scooter Boot.
The Scooter Boat. The Scooter Boat. Where it's like one of those boats that I think you had to like manually pedal.
I didn't do that there. I did not. No. I don't even... my memory of that place is so... I just don't remember everything about it. Mm-hmm. I don't, because I went when I was so young.
I remember only going once, but I remember the impression that I got from it that it was so close to Detroit. Oh, of course, at the time I thought it was. Well, I didn't know where it was as a kid. I just knew it was close to Detroit. And I just thought after leaving the first time, I'm thinking, oh, man, we coming back here so many times.
Yeah.
Because that was before I went to Cedar Point later in life. I think I started going to Cedar Point around 8 or 9. So a couple of years after that. So I just thought, okay, Bablo Island, that's my new destination. That's where I'm going to be going. And then, it was gone by 93. But
it was, I'm sorry, go ahead.
Oh, I was going to reinforce something that Aaron said. He said something about the dance hall and how, I think he mentioned this, but it's the second largest in the world. It housed 5,000 dancers at the time. And it had a 16 feet tall, 14 feet wide, self-playing wonton model orchestrion. Oh, yeah. That's what it is. It's an orchestrion self-playing model. And 5,000 people used to dance there, or it could house 5,000 people. But I mean, that was a marvel in itself. I think I remember seeing the hall. Of course, we didn't dance or anything, but
yeah, I do remember the food.
What do you remember about the food, John?
It's the same everywhere, man. It was always something fried and coated in cinnamon and brown sugar.
That's all you need.
So it was always something like that.
We probably went around the same time and didn't even know it.
Yeah, we probably did. So yeah, that's what I remember.
Well, what I found interesting was reading a little bit about the history. And Aaron was about to go into it before he had to step away because, you know, he has the vid.
Yeah.
But it was first home, I read, to 70 First Nation families and Native Americans, for everybody who don't know what the hell I'm talking about. And then later on, French Catholics came in and tried to save the Native tribe. But they were there before the European settlers came around the 18th century. And it was used... This island was part of the Underground Railroad. And
oh, wow.
Yeah. So from 1834 to about 1860, 30,000 people went back and forth between America and Canada to get away from slavers, for the most part.
So, yeah.
And also, during the Vietnam War, it was also used as a way to evade being drafted, which I found fascinating how they did that.
Yeah.
Because what they would do, people on the American side would buy Bablo tickets. So when they got to the island, they would trade with somebody from the Canada side. And so they would get their return ticket and they would return to Canada without being searched in customs, because it was just so easy going back and forth between Canada and Detroit at that time. Like, nobody was checking. So if you wanted to avoid being drafted in Vietnam, it was that easy. And I guess people from Canada, if they wanted to just go to America, they would just take that ticket and return to Detroit and do it that way. But obviously you cannot do that now.
Hell no, not with everything that's going on. I just know that it was a fun time when I was there. My family went. We enjoyed ourselves. And it was a trip for the whole family because of the location of where it was at. So I remember my grandmother went. My granddad, who didn't do amusement parks, he went. It was just a fun time for everybody.
Yeah, I mean, I know Belle Isle was still a thing back then, I believe. But Bobble Island was like a destination. And then later on, Cedar Point kind of took over. I mean, they were already, Cedar Point already existed. But for Detroit and for Detroiters and Canadians, that was like a destination, like a private little getaway. Because you could only get there with two boats. And like we mentioned earlier, and like Aaron mentioned earlier, those two steamers that actually survived up until 2018, when one of them, the St. Clair steamer, it got torched, accidentally burnt up in an accidental fire. And the only thing that exists from that is the hull, but all the vintage wood from the boat is gone. And I did a little bit of research. It seems like nobody can find that hull because it was discussions that it was going to be restored. But those actual two steamers was featured in a Transformer movie, too, in 2014. So that's something.
That's pretty cool. Well, I want to say it's a big correlation between that and Coney.
And because, that's what I was going to get into, because the reason why Bablo closed, and I want to give credit from the site Quora, guy named Paul Rushman. I hope I'm saying that guy's name right. But he was saying the biggest reasons why Bablo closed, because I always wondered that. Aaron was about to get into that earlier. But one of the reasons was competition from larger theme parks like Cedar Point and Kings Island. They have famous roller coasters and a wider range of attractions, of course. Cedar Point was also, as we know, close enough to Detroit that you would make a day trip out of it. And also, King Island is only 4 hours south near Cincinnati, and that opened in 1972. And Disney World opened a year earlier, which made Orlando a destination for family travel. And small amusement parks like Bablo Island, they just couldn't compete. And also, another Detroit history, the white flight that happened in the 60s and the 70s, where middle-class white families left Detroit for the northern and western suburbs because of social unrest during that times and the riots. So all those things kind of made it, it was basically the start of the demise of Bablo Island. And another point, the only way to Bablo Island, like I said earlier, was by boats. And boats are, you know, they're expensive to maintain as well as the crew. And also, if it did survive, they also made the point that 9/11, when that happened, the border formalities got more rigorous on the Canadian side of the Detroit River. So that would have totally choked it out from making any money. And then, of course, the pandemic happened. Like, if, of course, they probably would have never survived all that. But even if it did, the pandemic happened. It's just so many things, so many obstacles. But the main things was white flight. White people basically fled Detroit. So that kind of took away a lot of the dollars. And competing amusement parks like King Island, Coney Island, and those other amusement parks that you're going to talk about.
Yes.
Hey guys, if you like to see us in the flesh, we have video highlights of our episodes we release on every Wednesday before the new episode that comes out Friday. As always, you can catch this podcast on any major platform you listen to podcasts. Please make sure to rate us 5 stars and comment on how you're liking the show. After School Special Podcast.
It's this lady and she's like, "Hi, welcome to my vagina."
After School Special Podcast.
What robot pet starts out speaking a unique language but eventually speaks English? Gloopy? The fuck is a Gloopy?
Podcast comes out every Friday.
So that's the history of our beloved Bablo, because it just led to a pretty poor demise. But I mean, that's something Aaron would say is, you know, that's just how industry works, you know.
Oh,
yeah. Just industry.
Yeah.
How things start to move and advance, and little things like this get shut down because bigger and bolder things comes on, which leads me to Coney Island, which is what I did my research on. And Coney Island is in New York. You gotta feel it. You're gonna love it. Yeah. Come on, join the fun. And I still land. You gotta feel it. Yeah. You gotta taste it.
And there's lots new at Coney Island's Astroland this summer. Ride the all-new Million Dollar Breakdancer and the sensational Convoy for Kids.
Come on, Coney Island, it's waiting for you. Ride it fast. Ooh. Ride it high. Yeah. All for just one low price at Coney Island Astroland Park.
It is pretty historic, known for their hot dogs and everything like that, which if you're in Detroit, you know Coney Island very well because of all the chili dog places and stuff like that. So Coney Island has two amusement parks, Luna Park and Dino's Wonder Wheel Amusement Park, as well as several rides that are not incorporated into either amusement park. These are owned and managed by several different companies and operated independently of each other. Coney Island also has several other visitor attractions such as skee ball and ball tossing, as well as a sideshow that contains shooting, throwing, and tossing skills. The area hosts renowned events as well. Coney Island's amusements are one of the few in the United States that are not mostly owned by any one entity. And it has rides that are famous: Coney Island Cyclone, the Wonder Wheel, the Thunderbolt, and the B&B Carousel. So the Cyclone, I've heard about before, is a wooden roller coaster at Luna Park in Coney Island, Brooklyn, New York City. It opened to the public on June 26, 1927. The coaster is on a plot of land at the intersection of Surf Avenue and West 10th Street. The Cyclone reaches a maximum speed of 60 miles per hour and has a total track length of 2,640 feet. With a maximum height of 85 feet. See, and this is where a lot of people and I would disagree. I don't like roller coasters. Like, for me,
I was getting to that, John. I don't
like them either. I don't like roller coasters. When I go to the amusement park, I go for my son because, you know, he likes to do it. And then if it's a really scary coaster, I have to force myself to get on it. But I don't like the feeling that it makes me feel like my stomach goes up in my ribs. It's such a I don't like that feeling when you're going, the feeling when you're going down and all your organs are going up. So
my balls are in my mouth. Just my God. And the thing about it, John, like, do you ever get on these rides, you're scared, and then afterwards feel this irrational confidence like, oh, that wasn't even that bad? Do you ever feel that way? Because I don't. I'm like, I'm never doing that shit again.
I'm going to tell you which one that really did that for me. So the one that did it the most for me was when Cedar Point, and we're going to get to Cedar Point soon. Cedar Point opened this one called The Raptor back in the 90s. Yeah. And my mom used to be a daredevil. She would get on roller coasters like it was nothing. And we went with our church group once to Cedar Point. And this is when they opened the Raptor. So, you know, we got on and I was terrified because it's the bicycle seat and your legs are hanging. And that's where I got that irrational, oh, that wasn't that bad. But man, that's the worst sound in the world is that clink, clink, clink.
Clink, God. That's like the seconds of your life just ticking away. Like, oh, shit.
Ticking away. Because I've always been scared of that freaking, the hoist that holds you in.
Yeah, the harness.
Harness falling off. I've always been afraid of that. So I'm just like, man, screw this noise.
But the thing about, because I would like hold it like I was hugging myself. I would hold it so tight that I'm thinking, oh, if I hold it too tight, I might break it this way. So it was like, oh my God. I just felt like I was in peril either way. Like either.
Yeah.
I'm holding on too tight and I'm going to like break the shit and then I'm going to fall that way. Or if I don't hold it, it's going to be my seat that fucks up because I have always, always have bad luck. I think. And I'm like, oh man, this is going to be the day.
I've lost hats on those things. You know what I'm saying?
I would never wear a hat on that.
Yeah. I've lost hats on there.
I've lost my lunch.
So.
Haven't lost a hat yet though. But see, that's interesting. You talk about Coney Island in New York. I was actually talking about Coney Island in Ohio that led to Kings Island, which I've never been to. But after researching it, I actually would love to go there one day because I've been to Cedar Point plenty of times. But
yeah,
when you said Coney Island, I thought we were talking about the one in Ohio.
Oh, no, I was talking about the one in New York. But
oh, yeah, that's the most famous one. Yeah.
Yeah, I've always wanted to go to try the hot dogs because I want to try real Coney Island hot dog. I mean, no knock on the ones in Detroit.
Yeah, you're knocking it, but that's okay.
Yeah, I want to try the real deal. You know what I mean? Like, I've always wanted to try that. Yeah.
Can you imagine eating one of those and then going on these rides? Jesus Christ.
Oh, man, it'd be people covered in vomit.
That's a rookie move, though. You don't eat like that. Yeah. Well, now, when you're our age. You know,
no.
You don't fucking eat like that and then go on a ride like that. You just don't do it.
Yeah, I don't push myself anymore, man. I don't do that. Like, I'm 37, you know, I'm trying to, I know I still have the energy to do some stuff, but.
Yeah,
you know,
I can do stuff in spurts now, but I can't do it. I don't have the longevity like I used to. I can do spurts.
And I know some people who can keep up with the young cats, man. So, yeah. You know, I'm just like. No, I'm not doing that.
Well, you're not a cat anymore. You're a big dog now.
Big dog now. So, yeah, literally. I can't be doing that. Yeah. Literally.
But so, you want to talk more about Coney Island, New York?
Yeah. So it is a U.S. National Register of Historic Places designated on June 25th, 1991. It is a New York City landmark, which was designated on June 12th, 1988. It was designed by Vernon Keenan. The track layout is a compact twister with a chain lift. That's that clink, 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 clink. That's what that is. And, you know, I never thought about how long roller coaster lasts. This one lasts only 2 minutes and 30 seconds.
Hey, it reminds me of
it
me.
Doesn't feel like that when you're going through it. It feels longer.
That's what I tell the women.
So it can hold a capacity of 1,440 riders per hour with a G-force of 3.75.
Damn, that's some Top Gun shit.
That's one of the most famous Coney Island rides. There are multiple other rides on Coney Island. In March 2014, construction started on the new Thunderbolt, which I mentioned earlier, a steel roller coaster that was manufactured by Zamperilla at the cost of $10 million. The ride features 2,000 feet of track and a height of 125 feet. Nope.
Yeah. Top speed. They lost 65.
Yeah, they lost me. A top speed of 65 miles per hour. The Thunderbolt opened in June of 2014. There are multiple bumper car rides in Coney Island, all operated separately. As of 2019, these include an attraction in Dino's Wonder Wheel Park, as well as El Dorado Auto Scooter on Surf Avenue. Historically, the earliest bumper car rides were located in Coney Island. Furthermore, two traditional dark ride haunted houses operated at Coney Island, Spookorama at Dino's and Ghost Hole on West 12th Street adjacent to Dino's. And that was something else, too. I didn't like haunted houses. I don't like haunted houses.
See, I dig those, surprisingly. I dig those.
I didn't like haunted houses, man. I'm a punk. I don't like haunted houses. I don't like people jumping out at me. I don't like hearing chainsaws revving. Nope, I'm good, man.
So you wouldn't like go to a thing where Cedar Point does that seasonal spooky, that's spooky.
I did that once, the spooktacular.
Okay. Yeah, the spooktacular.
Yeah, man, I tell you how bad I am. So Belle Isle, for those who are local, used to have a nature center that had a Halloween festival, and you would walk through the nature center and they would have people come out and scare you. My grandmother went, this little old lady went through and was not terrified. I was riding on her back to get out of that damn thing. That's how terrified I was, because I was just, people were screaming and hollering at you and they were coming out and she wasn't scared. But I was on her back, piggyback style, trying to get out of there. That's how scared I was. And how old was I? 12?
Jeez. I don't blame you, though. So, like, you don't... Yeah, at that age, you still have that naivety to where you think this shit could be real. So, even today, I probably try to knock a motherfucker out. They lunging at me. That's the first reflex.
Yeah, I don't play, man. I don't like being spooked. There's a area in my job that has all these doors. It looks like the Monsters, Inc. area.
Hey, John, try working at a school at night by yourself. All those doors and I hear shit from the steam room. I'm thinking Freddy Krueger. I'm talking about me now as a 38-year-old man. I'm hearing shit in the steam room. I'm thinking Freddy Krueger's in here, or if you are a Stranger Things fan, Vecna is in there.
I'm like,
what the fuck? I hear ding, ding, dong.
Your time is at hand.
No, I really hear that shit. Because it's been times where I had, for people that didn't know, I'm a custodian, and I do schools, and I be hearing ding, dong, ding, dong. I'm like, what the fuck is that? Like, I be searching.
Hell no. Vecna creeps me out. This is, you know, like, this particular, I mean, talking about that, for this particular season, like, I've not been scared of any of the monsters. Mm-hmm. Vecna is the one that really creeps me out.
They did a good job with his makeup.
They did a good job. Because it's like a Freddy, almost a Freddy Krueger-esque individual. So, dude, I'm telling you, if something like that came out at one of these haunted houses at these amusement parks, I would have a heart attack.
Yeah, I would.
Like, I can't handle that. I don't like being spooked. Like, my son scares me. I almost knocked him out once. I was like, don't do that. You know, like,
he got to learn.
Like, don't spook me.
You went to the one in Cedar Point, so you never do that again? The spooktacular?
No, I mean, I just don't, man. Like, some people like to be terrified and like all that black and blackness and death. And I'm like, man, I just want the candy.
Hey, man, fair enough. Because the ultimate goal is the candy when you're a kid.
Yeah, the candy is ultimately what it is. So,
and when I went to the amusement parks, I didn't go for the rides. I went for the candy and the games. I went, like, I did the games where you would, like, squirt the water pistol.
The water and the
to get the prize. Yeah, I wanted to get the prizes. Yeah. I wanted to win games. I wanted to lose.
And those are cheaply made, but you wanted to win.
Because you know it's a scam. Yeah. You know it's a scam.
It is a scam because you would have the milk bottle toss where the bottles had sand in the bottom to keep you from knocking it over. You had the plate at Cedar Point. This is the biggest scam. Cedar Point has a game where all you have to do is toss a quarter on a plate. And if you get it to stay on the plate, you win. The plate is greased. Every time you flip a quarter on these plates, it just skirts off. So you have that. And then you got the basketball game.
Yeah, that was my favorite.
So, the basketball game with the long net that goes all the way
down.
Yeah,
yeah.
Yeah,
but so the rim circumference is not as wide as the normal one.
Yeah.
So you had to be Steph Curry in that bitch.
Yeah. So you have that. And then the darts where you would throw the dart at the balloon.
Yeah.
The balloon is underinflated so that when the dart hits, it doesn't penetrate. So,
Deflategate, like Tom Brady.
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. So that's the way they have those games set up. But I always would play like an idiot. And you know how I won those squirt gun games? I always had the trigger pulled already. I would have the trigger pulled.
Heady play, bro.
And I had the trigger already pulled so that when the water came out, it was automatic. And I was already aimed at the target so I would win. So that's how I would do it. I'm sure other
cheat
people
codes
did
by
the
John.
Same thing. Yeah, man. I'm telling you, dude, that's how I like to play. You know, I like to play like that.
Yeah,
and I
like
remember
to win.
we went on this black college tour where we went to an amusement park. I was in high school at this time, but we went on this black college tour and we went, I think it was Kings Island. No, it wasn't Kings Island.
Have you ever been there?
Where was it?
In Cincinnati?
I have. I've been to Kings Island. Okay. Yeah. Yeah. I've been there twice. The first time I went was with a singing competition. It was a choir competition in Cincinnati. So I went there the first time. And then the second time had to be with this black college tour. Or I could be wrong. It could have been someplace else. But we were just having a blast, man. And that water gun, that was my jam. Everybody was like, win me a toy. Win me a toy. I was like, all right. That was my jam, man.
You were the
ringer. It was a lot of fun. Yeah, the ringer. And I like the food, too, because amusement park food You get like the sausages with the peppers and onions,
yes.
The hamburgers, which I always got mad because you can never find the hamburger stand. Everyone would have it and you could never find it with the sauteed onions. You had the pizza, the elephant ear with the apple nachos slices on too. It.
Don't forget about
the nachos. Oh. Yes, dude.
So, and we're back to food. Yeah. Everything leads back to back food. On it. Yes.
Yeah.
Did they have chili dogs? I don't remember.
I don't remember if they had chili dogs. I don't think so.
They had chili fries, didn't they? Well, they had
food. They had chili cheese nachos.
Oh, yeah. Oh my God. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. And we forgot to bring that up on the, because there's some buffets that did have the chili, the nacho.
Yes.
The nacho
yes.
bar.
So,
yeah.
Yeah, the nacho bar. And then you have the, see now, you know, because we didn't talk about this at the casino. You go to the fondue area where you have the fountain. Yeah, man. You get the fountain and then you're really
down. I just want to put my head up under that shit. Just be like,
yeah.
But I've never been to King Island in Cincinnati. Honestly, I didn't even really know that existed until I looked it up. I'm like, oh, damn. Yeah. I never see any commercials for this. All I see is Cedar Point, and King's Island, lo and behold, is like a famous amusement park. And I'm thinking, oh,
yeah.
Did it close like Bablo Island? Like, no, it's
still there.
It's still going strong. And it sounds amazing.
Still going strong. Yeah, it's a lot of fun, man. I enjoy myself there. So I think we're going to leave Coney Island and go to...
Well, I was going to talk a little bit about King's Island because...
Oh, sure, sure.
They had a Coney Island.
The biggest, baddest, longest, fastest coaster in the world. The Beast is running wild in Cincinnati. You'll find it at King's Island. But the Beast is only the beginning. You're just a short drive away from America's top-ranked seasonal theme park. So this summer, track down the Beast and discover all the reasons why you should stop and share the good times at King's Island, 20 miles north of Cincinnati on I-71.
Coney Island was a popular amusement park, and in 1964, it flooded in downtown Cincinnati on the banks of Ohio River. And it suffered from a major flood that submerged the area in over like 14 feet of water. Now that usually happened, but this was like one of the worst ones. I think it was like the fourth worst one at that time, 1964. The son of the person who owned Coney Island in Cincinnati, Ralph Wash. I don't know if I'm saying his name right. Let's just call him Ralphie. Ralphie basically told his dad, hey, we need to move this shit, man, because like I don't know if we're going to survive another one of these floodings, and we need to relocate the park in order to stay competitive. So what happened, he met with the president of Taft Broadcasting Company, and I don't know if that rings a bell to you, but at the time, it acquired Hanna-Barbera, the division. So in July... Yes. 1969, Taft Broadcasting Company purchased Coney Island for $6.5 million, and they began to do construction for the new amusement park, which later became King's Island, in June 15th, 1970. And they hired a designer, a legendary designer, John C. Allen, who made one of the best amusement park rides at the time. It was called The Racer. It was a wooden...
Yeah.
You ever heard of that? It's a wooden roller coaster consisting of two trains that race side by side on identical tracks.
Yeah, I've heard of it. Yeah.
Yeah, it was famous at the time, and decades later, it was distinguished as a roller coaster landmark by American coaster enthusiasts. Didn't know that fucking exists. And it also... Mm-hmm. It had the most expensive ride to open with a park, which was the Enchanted Voyage, a 2 million dark ride attraction that featured over 100 animatronic Hanna-Barbera characters. I'm like, damn, dude.
Yeah, I've never. So when did that open?
That opened in 1972.
All right, so that's not open anymore.
King's Island?
No, the animatronics, right?
Oh, you mean that actual attraction?
Yeah.
I don't believe so. I would have to believe they updated their whole amusement park, but
yeah.
It opened with that though. It was the most expensive attraction at an amusement park at the time. And
wow,
King's Island was nationally promoted in two well-known sitcoms on ABC, which filmed an episode on location at the park, The Partridge Family in 1972 and The Brady Bunch in 1973, which The Brady Bunch was produced by Paramount Television, a large Taft Broadcasting shareholder. So I didn't know Hanna-Barbera it makes sense now because Taft acquired them. And then later on, I think Paramount acquired the park. And then later on, Paramount got bought out by Cedar Fair, which they own that now.
And that's how I remembered it, Paramount. When I went around, I just remember Paramount being something that sounded familiar, being linked to King's Island.
Yeah, they got bought out in 2005. June 14th, 2005, Viacom announced its intentions to split into two companies, Viacom and CBS Corporation, with CBS.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, CBS inherited the Paramount parks.
Yeah, because now I see from some research here is that they changed from Hanna-Barbera to Snoopy.
Yeah.
Following Cedar Fair's purchase of the park from Paramount in 2006.
But wasn't Six Flags associated with like those characters too? Snoopy and
Six Flags is Warner Brothers.
Okay.
Bugs Bunny.
Okay.
That's another one that I've never been to. I've always heard about it, but I've never been to it.
I want to one day, one summer, do trips to Kings Island, Six Flags. But Six Flags, I thought it was a Six Flags in Ohio, but it's not. It's in Georgia, and I think it's Massachusetts. Oh, I get that wrong all the time.
I know what you're trying to say.
Massachusetts. Say it for me. Massachusetts?
Massachusetts.
Massachusetts. I need Aaron here. Yeah. He can do it. But I want to make a trip out of it. It's one in Atlanta, Six Flags, and there's... So I would do Kings Island, go to Ohio, and then go straight down to Six Flags. And, oh, and then do Orlando, do Disney World.
I've never been to Disney
World. Damn, we are so deprived. Like, what the fuck?
I've been to Disneyland, and, you know, I've been saying it. We're trying to go this holiday, so we'll see how that goes for the Christmas holiday. Hopefully, COVID doesn't cause an issue.
Ah, you're immune now.
Oh, I hope so.
Yeah. Anyway, but I thought that was the Coney Island you were talking about. After looking this shit up, and actually another fun fact, it said that Woody Harrelson, when he was younger, I think in the early 80s, he used to work there during the summer. And the sportscaster, podcaster Dan Patrick used to work there too. Like a lot.
I know who Dan Patrick is.
Yeah, a lot of notable people have worked at King's Island, and it's been on TV shows. It's been promoted. I'm like, damn, man, it's right up under my nose. I would have loved that when I was a kid, especially having those Hanna-Barbera characters at the time.
Yeah,
at least
the animatronics. Yeah,
oh yeah,
that would have been so much fun to see that.
This is not a test.
We'll return after these messages.
Wow! What's new? New flame broiled mini cheeseburgers. Only at Burger King. New burger bundles. Tasty little guys. But get them while you can, because they won't be around for long. New burger bundles. Are these good? Or what? Burger King, the best food for fast times.
I like the way you make me laugh. I like the funny things you do. You got a style that's all your own. I like the Sprite in you. You make me want to smile. You know you make me sparkle too. You start to kick out around. I like the Sprite in you.
Sprite, the only one with Lyman. The unexpected twist that makes us different, livelier, special.
I like the Sprite in you.
We now continue with our program.
But I want to bring it to where I'm at right now. I'm going to bring it to California. So I want to talk about the Santa Cruz Beach Boardwalk.
Come on, everybody, it's the latest news. They're doing the walk in Santa Cruz.
Do the walk, do
the beach boardwalk.
Do the walk,
do the beach boardwalk.
Do the walk,
do the beach boardwalk.
Do the walk,
do the beach boardwalk. You can do the roller coaster, you can do the swim. Come on, everybody, you can walk right in.
You can walk on the beach, and you can jump in the sand.
You can get down low and do the sun tan.
Do the walk
in Santa Cruz.
Do the walk,
do the beach boardwalk.
And when you walk up to this place, Don, it's like stepping into a whole different universe. Mm. Like,
wow,
it's very vintage looking, beautiful. You're off the beach. You are on this boardwalk, and it has like all this different artwork from way back when. So if you can Google it, look it up.
Yeah, I'm looking it up now.
Yeah. And it's very scenic when you're out there. And
oh, it looks beautiful.
You know, it's, yeah, it's a place where they have all these roller coasters. One in particular I'm going to talk about. But it has a old Wurlitzer, which has the merry-go-round. Now, the Wurlitzer is this type of machine that plays organ music without a player.
Oh, yeah, like Bob Island.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Well, so it used to be.
Wurlitzer, yeah, so it'll play. And what I liked about that is the kids and adults could ride on this carousel, and this mechanical arm comes down. And out of this mechanical arm comes these little quarter-size coins. And you're supposed to throw the coin in the mouth of this clown. There's a clown up against the wall, and if you hit the clown in the mouth, like, you have to throw it good so that the quarter goes in there, the nose will pop off. Like, the clown will light up. So this music is going, it's really surreal. It looks like something out of a movie. So you're going around, you grab the coin, you have to throw the coin just right to hit the clown in the mouth so the clown will light up and all this stuff. So it's pretty wild. But everybody gets in line to do it, and it's a lot of fun. So you have that going. So then they have all these rides, the pirate ship ride, the Tilt-A-Whirl. They got this one roller coaster called the Giant Dipper, which is a historic wooden roller coaster. It is 70 feet with a speed of 55 miles per hour. It's one of the most popular wooden roller coasters in the world. As of 2012, it has over 60 million people have ridden the Giant Dipper since its opening, and it opened on May 17th, 1924. The cost to build this thing was $50,000. It is a National Historic Landmark, a Golden Age Coaster Award, and a Coaster Landmark Award.
And it's the oldest, this whole place is the oldest amusement park in California, right?
I assume so.
That's what I saw. That's what I see. It said it was founded in 1907, and it's the oldest surviving amusement park. So that
right. So it's really fun when you go there, and it's really just going to the beach and seeing the amusement park in the background. It's kind of like, this is it. So, you know, if you ever get a chance to travel, man, that's a nice place to go. I like when you walk up to it, it's like, welcome to Neptune's Kingdom. Like, from Neptune is Poseidon. So it's like, welcome to Neptune's Kingdom when you walk up. And it has all this fun. And I mean, there's people from all walks of life that are out there, man. You know, you got your bikers out there. You got your family people like me. You know, it's just random people. Just out there having a good time. And like I said, the experience is worth the price of admission to get in there. So,
and that's what it's all about. Because when we were kids, I didn't recall bitching about long waits at a line. It was just an experience, man. It was all about being with your friends or your family or your church group or whoever you were with. And just experiencing these rides together and kind of pumping each other up. Like, all right, man, when we get on a ride, you ain't going to be scared, right? Like, yeah, I ain't going to be scared. I remember doing that with my aunt. And we got on the Millennium Force at Cedar Point or the Gemini.
Yeah.
It was just like, I was scared, and I'm scared to this day, but I had a, if you have a good partner with you at these rides, like, usually you can overcome that fear, for at least for some people. And I had a good partner with my aunt. I had some good partners with my friends. I went to Cedar Point after I graduated high school. Damn, 20 years ago? Oh my Jesus, that was 20 years ago. Went to Cedar Point with some friends from school, and I didn't get on the rides, but I did do the go-karts. I had some very fond memories of Cedar Point. And just walking around, man, seeing the different people. Of course, it's a little different now because of the pandemic and, you know, all that shit's going around. But when it was in my earlier years, favorite amusement park was probably Cedar Point, I assume.
Yeah, so mine, I would say, coming from Detroit, my favorite amusement park is going to be Cedar Point because it was close. The family went. I remember the one time we went and I lost my ticket and my grandmother let me have it. She was like, everybody got their ticket, but that big head boy there. So she let me have it. But yeah, that was fun. That was a lot of fun. So I'm going to say Cedar Point. My second is going to be with my family now, and that's Santa Cruz. I really enjoyed that one. Hopefully we can have Doom Generation on again and maybe get their feedback. Maybe they've been to one of these parks out here.
Yeah, but we're going to have to do that.
Yeah. So that's a big thing. But I didn't know that it was started as a bathhouse. There was bathhouses out here in Santa Cruz. That's what it was.
What the hell is a bathhouse? It's just people,
I don't know,
taking baths?
It says the boardwalk's roots go back to 1865 when John LeBrant opened a public bathhouse near the mouth of the San Lorenzo River. Other bathhouses followed, and scores of tourists began visiting Santa Cruz to enjoy the highly touted natural medicine of bathing in salt water. Oh, okay, that's what it was. Yeah, so
they were just bathing in their own
juices. Bathing in the salt water, yeah. Soon more concessions sprang up, including restaurants, curio shops, and photo stands, which are still out there. They have all that stuff out there. Towards the end of the century, Fred W. Swanton, considered one of the greatest promoters and entrepreneurs of his time, laid plans for a casino and boardwalk, a Coney Island of the West. So that's pretty much what it was.
Huh.
Yeah.
I think mostly if you were considered a major city, or if you are considered a major city, you have at least an amusement park that you kind of like to say, hey, we are big enough to house this attraction to get people, you know, tourists to come. We
have, right.
Like, of course, there's a tax, a local tax, and of course, incentives for amusement parks to go there and broker a deal to buy the land and do all that other stuff, I'm sure. But if you're like a Chicago, if you're like a New York, and even Detroit at a time, California, you had to have an amusement park. And I think in its heyday, in the 70s, it was a renaissance, I read that, you know, roller coasters started to become more popular again. You had places like Kings Island, you had Bobble Island for a second, you had Disney World turning up, and of course you had Coney Island. But I think there's always going to be a room for places like this because people want to be entertained, and you need a park. To basically, because it's a thing for everything at these things.
Right.
We just mentioned we don't do roller coasters, but we still have fun at these parks, sure doing other shit. People watching, eating, farting. I don't know. It was just fun. go-karts. It was just, hey, even if we didn't have to go. I did some of these fucking roller coasters, but it had to be like some whack, winky-dink shit. And I was cool with that, man. I didn't want to go too high. I ain't want to drop too low.
I didn't like the demon drop. That was another.
I did that one. Yes.
Yeah, I didn't do the demon drop. My grandmother and her sister got on a demon drop once. They thought it was an elevator. They thought they thought it was a
elevator to hell. Shit.
Yeah, what they thought was the demon drop was, they thought it was an elevator where you would go up and see the whole park just to get a view. You know, like how a Ferris wheel is.
Yeah.
And when it dropped all the way down, like no resistance, they both pissed themselves.
Oh no! Is that true?
It came out.
Oh, came out
with the piss stains on.
Oh, so,
yeah.
You can't live that one down.
Yeah, buddy. So I don't know if that's a good place to end it, but
sure it is.
Yeah, yeah.
We are, ladies and gentlemen, After School Special Podcast. I'm Double D, that staff man. Aaron is on hiatus because he got the vid, or he just got sick. I don't know what we're going to say. But if he was here, I'm sure he would agree. Amusement parks are fucking awesome.
Yes.
Fucking awesome. They were a blast. They continue to be a blast. I'm going to go to some amusement parks in the future. I'm sure of it. I don't even have to psych myself up for it. It's really about finding that good group of people to go with and really going from there and just blocking out a space and time where you can just enjoy yourself, which it's kind of hard to do nowadays, but if you can do it, it's a blessing. And like I said, amusement parks are awesome. This is After School Special Podcast. Please look us up on any major podcast platforms, Apple, Spotify, Pandora. We're on YouTube, we're on TikTok, but just by subscribing and commenting and giving us your feedback, because we do this for free, we ain't getting paid for this shit, it means a lot for us, and it keeps us going. So if you could take the time right now, give us a 5-star, comment on how you hate Aaron but you love us, I don't know,
yeah,
or vice versa. Maybe you hate us but you love Aaron, I don't fucking
just
know.
Let us know something.
Yes, that is payment enough. No it isn't. Please give us all your money. But anyway, until the next episode, we're signing off. Go piss your pants on a roller coaster, do all those fucking things.
Go live.
Yes, it's summertime, baby.
Yeah. Whoa! Summertime, go live.
Yes.
Hey everyone, it's Aaron from After School Special Podcast. Like what you hear so far? But don't forget to subscribe and download the show on whatever platform you get your podcasts. And just a friendly reminder, we have new episodes out every Friday. Thanks for listening, everyone.
Go ride a roller coaster and get a hand job while you're waiting.
A little hanky-panky under your pleasure garter.
That's quite the terminology of pleasure garden.
Well, yeah, I was going to say back then, it's like, go ride the roller coaster and look at women's ankles.